catch this like a fishing net. Nothing but solid catches before the recording goes live. All right, hey.
It is live.
Oh, we're live. Son of a bitch. Are we all practicing proper mic technique?
Into the mic. Oh.
Or into the Spider-Verse? What? No? Yes. All right.
So how was your day? Everyone's good? Boys ready?
We're ready. I'm sufficiently loaded. Let's rock.
All right, we have a lot to get to, so let's just get started.
Bad Slant Podcast, episode number 3, Thursday, October 2018. I can't even read the damn date on the page. Thursday, October 11, 2018. This is what happens when Jack shows up an hour late and we have
to fill
time by drinking bourbon and pretending to get prep for the show. But in any case...
An hour?
No, it was a half hour. Okay. Come on. Give me some credit.
If you feel like you deserve the leeway, I will give it to you. Okay, so 30 minutes is what we're going to stand 30, on.
Yes, I'm standing. That's the hill I'll die on.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, well, with that said, we're going to do something that we've never done before.
Never.
We're going to properly introduce ourselves at the top of the show. I am the artist formerly known as Asian John. That was not a name given to me by myself, or not a name that I requested, but just happened to develop organically from another podcast. Feel free to refer to me as that going forward, or just John. It's all good. To my right, my big brother Jack.
What's up? How's it going?
It goes okay, so long as you learn to read and watch.
It's all
regularity.
Good. Yeah, for sure. How's and everybody?
Doing all right, man. All right. Last but not least, the artist I shouldn't call everybody an artist, but there's Ice, so long as I'm not calling by your legal name.
Exactly.
I think we're
just
good.
Just stick to Ice.
Keep Ice
life,
is good.
Keep life simple.
Yes, if I wrote the bio with Ice, I should probably stick to it. Mm. So that's the first time we've properly introduced ourselves. I feel like we need to give ourselves a check off that list to seem like a proper podcast.
We did say that it's going to take us about 5 episodes to get our shit together. So
this is only 3, so we're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, we got 2 more to go. So
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to pump the air brakes on the show right out the gate, by
all means. I mean, that just like air brake the entire podcast.
I don't know how to rebound from that. Anyway, speaking of other show business, we're trying to present ourselves as a reputable organization or broadcast. So part of that is actually having a home on the interwebs, which if you found this godforsaken podcast, you have made your way to, which is our website, badslant.com. We're also quite active to an extent on social media. So you can find us on social media, instagram.com/badslant or twitter.com/badslant. At Bad Slant, all those things are good. So you can catch up with us. I actually went so far as to live tweet UFC 229 this past weekend.
Thank you for that. That was really entertaining stuff.
Riveting stuff. The timeline was great. The interaction with you and I was awesome.
So to be clear, I don't think we had any interaction on the social media feeds. It was more... one, Jack telling us to go pound it up our ass when we asked him to go watch the UFC with us so we can have a collective, viewing party and like a group, experience watching the event.
He sees us once a week. That's enough.
I guess that's more than enough.
I would like it to be more, but it was just bad timing. If it was any other weekend.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I'd give you a pass.
Yeah, for sure.
You get a pass.
Okay, Ice gives you a pass. I would give you a pass were you not then taking the time for the rest of the evening to throw it in our face, to text us the entire time throughout the broadcast, giving us your blow-by-blow reactions, which consisted of three-letter words every time somebody got knocked out.
Wow was one of them.
Yes, right? Wow was the reaction.
Or goddamn.
Yeah.
That was one.
That was the scintillating content you got from Jack as the fights rolled out. In any case, we naturally kind of worked into UFC 229.
I actually have one bit of news before we jump straight in.
Please.
So let me hit this.
shit. We have a timpani?
Yeah, I was saving this just in case something were to be of worth to share. But
of note.
Yes, of note. So I actually just checked, and we are officially live on Spotify.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
There it is. We're James, live on Spotify?
That's what's up. Well, not live, but our shows are actually published. We're launched.
We have 4 listeners, and we're on Spotify. How the hell did that happen? Oh, God.
So, you know, I've been since we've got we've taped our first episode, I've been trying to get us on the Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. And I was just we've been in the process of getting all the stuff ready behind the scenes for public launch, and we just got everything sorted out this week, and I've started creating all of our accounts, and Spotify is the first one to approve us.
Nice.
So we are officially up on Spotify.
We're officially official.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
That tells you how low the bar is set on Spotify. but shouts out to @Spotify. Follow them on Twitter, Spotify.com.
Yeah, I have to show you. It's so exciting.
This is scintillating broadcast material to show us the link on your phone.
Check that out.
Holy crap.
We are official.
Are you going to give Spotify a five-star review?
Oh shit!
You can't put that off now. It's a quid pro quo. You got to tell them how appreciative that you are that they approved this.
Look at that. That's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Wild. That's wow. Beautiful. Wow. I really don't know how to. This is all like breaking news. Whenever it feels like breaking. So, no lie. Ice was sitting in my 2-bedroom condo for the last I don't know 90 minutes or so. Did not feel the compunction to share that news with me. He wanted to drop it, and you know what? It generated an honest reaction from each of us.
Yeah,
so,
for
you know
sure.
What? Kudos to you for doing the work, number one, and two, getting us some additional content out of it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. So hopefully out of this, we will start gaining a bit more listeners. So this should be exciting. Hello to whoever came in from Spotify. Hello.
Thanks for your fractions of a cent. I assume that's how it works. I have no idea how
right,
any of this broadcast material works.
It's monetized, right?
So, so if you guys are starting from this episode, you know, we stated from episode one, just give us some time. We're still working through the kinks, but we're two more episodes away. We're gonna be rock solid.
Nice.
So stay tuned.
We're 2 episodes away from being listenable, so bear with us. Just go ahead.
Please don't leave.
Go ahead and save us on your Spotify playlist, and then just check back in about 3 weeks, and then you'll be golden pony boy.
Well, speaking of listeners, I was taking a quick peek before the show at our analytics just to see what kind of activity we're getting. It's probably accidental, but we got a visit from China and Japan.
I was gonna I was really about to say something sarcastic like, hey, I hear we're big in Taiwan.
Boom, bam. You got it.
Somehow, some way,
you got it.
Chinese Taipei is in the house.
That's what's up.
All right,
God bless them.
Well, I thought I'd share that. I just saw it.
Thank
like
you,
literally
man.
Right before the show
like
started, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Like I end up babbling and stuttering anytime something is unexpected as that comes up. But that is pretty cool that you've done the work and gotten us to the spot. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, before we were hit with the good news bug, we were segueing into UFC 229, the event that took place last Saturday. I think that was October 6th. Saturday, October 6th, again, the day that Jack told us to go pound it up our ass. But Ice and I got together. We watched the event in totality. I think that was the day of your epic cheat, not cheat meal, cheat day. Like you.
No,
had
it was a meal, but I saved it up all day. Like I planned out every bit of the cheat meal. So.
An entire cake is not a cheat.
It wasn't even like I ordered a slice of cake.
He ordered a whole damn cake.
I thought about the cake, and I ordered the cake to be made, and I picked it up, but I couldn't eat it until it was time for my meal.
Whoa.
I wanted pizza, so I ordered pizza from Domino's, my usual.
That's
the
shout
cakes,
out to Domino's.
Deep dish
cakes
pan,
and pies.
The pan,
okay.
Sausage pepperoni. I had that waiting. Didn't eat it right away. Had it sitting right there. And I picked up fried chicken. There's a Korean fried chicken place near me. Not Banchan, but
Chungmen chicken.
Yeah, Chungmen chicken.
Chungmen chicken.
So I really like their classic. I tried their like they have like a spicy garlic and their usual that's similar to Banchan. It's not that good. But if you stick to the classic, the classic is oh my God, it's so delicious. So I had that, I had the pizza, I had the cake, and I just had to wait till the right moment and eat it all together. It was a hell of a cheat meal.
So unless like anything really wild happened during the fight card, that was going to be the lead story.
Oh, that was the highlight of my day.
It was great. But, you know, to be fully transparent, I didn't have a single bite of any of your cheat meal stuff. Like not
none?
One. None.
No way.
No. I ended up drinking all your vodka. I think I had Grace, Lily, your wife's cousin, ended up giving me a piece of her Oreo cookie bar. That was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you missed out.
I totally did. But the reason why I missed out is because I was so transfixed by the events of the actual card itself. We can kind of build somewhat, but I to the chagrin of our loved ones who had the misfortune of listening to last week's show, we went really sports heavy. So I don't think we're going to dwell in it so much. I think we want to kind of hit this
butt deep.
Wow. we kind of want to hit this butt deep, as Ice would say. There were a couple of major highlights from the show. I think there was one in particular that really kind of stole the show for all of us. I don't know if Jack, son of a biscuit. I don't think, I think Ice has it pulled up and ready to rock, but it was pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Have a listen. Oh, sorry.
I lied.
Let's try this again.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand.
Joe Rogan just handled it perfectly, didn't he? He's like, I understand. Great. Just rolled with it.
If there's not a better broadcast professional on the planet, I don't know what is.
Dude, you remember the next line after that? He's like, what was it? Donald Trump called me. He said some Russians were messing with him. I had to knock him out. Or something to that effect.
Something that insane. So, to anyone who didn't actually watch the UFC 229 card, Derek Lewis is now the number one contender for the heavyweight title. He fought a gigantic 7-foot Russian named Alexander Volkov and proceeded to get his ass whooped for about 20 minutes before the final round, or I guess 10 minutes if we're being accurate. First two rounds were just a whitewash in favor of Volkov, so really he was just in a position to win the fight handily. And by the grace of God, Derek Lewis waited out this gigantic mountain of a man long enough to throw a haymaker and pretty much steal his soul en route to stealing the fight and winning a shot at the UFC Heavyweight Championship against Daniel Cormier. So that's the context leading up to that fantastic moment of random off the top of the dome spontaneity, stream of consciousness that just spewed out of Derek Lewis. So that was great. I don't know how, I guess Jack's reaction was, wow.
No, it was a great fight. I'm sorry. I can't say it was a great fight. It was a great finish. It was a great finish. Yeah. Alexander Volkov must be kicking himself. All he had to do was avoid the right hand of Derek Lewis for another minute or so. And then he got,
not even a minute, like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like
you're correct.
He was really close, just walking out.
Exactly. So
if he just ran in circles around the octagon, I think he
would have
won.
He would have won.
Exactly.
Yes.
If he pulled a Tress Way with a football with the clock running down, he would have won.
He would have won. And he would be in line for the next title shot instead of Derek Lewis. So now we're seeing Derek Lewis versus, that's official?
That's official, right?
Derek Lewis with his hot ass balls is going to fight Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight championship, because Daniel Cormier evidently is relinquishing his 205-pound title to allow John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson to fight for it on December 29th, I think. That was the news that came out today.
Yep.
But Ice, how did you feel in that moment when you saw that play out live on pay-per-view?
It was hilarious. Because, I mean, I remember we were watching.
It was unexpected, right?
Oh, my God.
Like we thought, I think everybody, there were like 7 people in the room. We were all pretty resigned to this god-awful fight.
It was so boring. And I was just like, why are we watching? I think that followed the Karate Hottie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely.
So we came after that fight and then we watched.
Yeah, we did.
Good call. So, yeah, it was just like, it was such a boring fight, and we're like, why is this even happening? And this is it was terrible, and it was just like, okay, please just get it over with. Let's just move on. And all it took was that one right at the very last second, and we're just like like, whoa, like, now we understand. Like,
yes, now we know what a murder looks like on live television.
Isn't that amazing? He could get his ass beat for an entire fight, and all it takes is one right hand.
Yeah,
that's it.
His nickname is the Black Beast for a reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, no racism there.
No, no. He gave the name to himself. Yeah, we're indemnified for that.
Yeah, for sure.
But that was an incredible finish to that fight. I don't really want to get into some of the other fights. Although the Ferguson fight against Anthony Pettis, which was a little gratifying for me.
He didn't come out, right? That's what happened. He broke his hand and his coach.
Oh, right. Yes. So
he was getting his butt kicked.
Yes. Okay. Tony Ferguson went from being whitewashed in his fight against Anthony Pettis to, or at least he was en route to losing the round two and came back to win the round himself. So that was a pretty good fight. I think people were calling it the round of the year, one of the fights of the year, and I guess we're getting towards the end of the year, so they start to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But the main thread to come out of UFC 229 is the main event, Conor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I did some research this week. Dagestan is actually a republic of Russia, so that's why Khabib can actually claim Russia to be his home country. So
he's allowed to.
He is, yes. Okay. So he can. Shouts out to Russia. Anyway, so Khabib and Conor finally get it on after months of build. And okay, can I start clucking my wings?
Dude,
and
just go for it. We knew it was coming. Okay. Come on, just go for it.
Just to clarify, these two dickheads said Conor would win. I said that Khabib. Okay,
to be honest, never happened.
Khabib said I said Khabib would win the fight, but by decision. Instead, he felt like he wanted to get to Las Vegas International Airport much sooner than he needed to, so he proceeded to choke out Conor McGregor in the fourth round of this pretty much one-sided affair. I think maybe seven people decided that Conor won the third round of the fight. Which I think if you watch it objectively, it makes perfect sense, but the other three rounds were a complete whitewash in favor of Khabib Nurmagomedov. So that's all well and good. You could argue whether you expected that result or not. We can do that all day long. But then the aftermath, I think nobody saw coming, which was Khabib jumping the cage and proceeding to take a couple swings at somebody, a member of Conor's entourage.
Dylan Danis.
I believe that's his jiu-jitsu coach.
No, that's his, well, it's his training partner.
One of his training partners,
yeah,
right.
So he's a fighter from Bellator.
Right.
Yeah.
So Khabib loses his mind and does that. Meanwhile, as that's all playing out in the audience, as Khabib is doing his Ron Artest moment in the crowd at the T-Mobile Arena, Conor's getting jumped by two Russians in the middle of the ring.
Three.
I'm sorry, I shortchanged him. Got punched in the back of the head.
Yeah,
by the third shooter on the grassy knoll. So that's all playing out. I mean, I don't know if that was when your wow came out, comment came out,
no,
but
no.
I think we all felt about the same at that point, like just completely shocked. I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Like, what were they thinking? It's just like, they talked to him after the fight, but then just like, you just won. I get it. If you lost and you lost in on a much hype fashion, then yeah, you have some built up aggression that you need to take it out on someone, and then you're just like looking around for someone to just open a can of whoop ass on. So I get it, but you just won.
He already spent like 20 minutes opening a can of whoop ass on Conor McGregor.
All you had to do was just stand there and would have been over.
He's exhausted the whoop ass. The whoop ass is an empty can rolling on the ground at that point.
Oh. Well, the lead up to the fight was much more one-sided because Conor is the one selling the fight, and he has a way of trying to taunt it.
That's with every fight.
Exactly, but we're not talking about your typical opponent.
Yeah, that's
true. His previous opponents was Nate Diaz, who understands. He talks as much trash as anyone else in the octagon. You've got Floyd. His last fight, big money fight, was Floyd Mayweather, who talks just as much trash. He understands that this is the fight game and that this is how you sell fights and this is how you sell pay-per-views.
So the issue at the end of the day is that this this guy with a English vocabulary of maybe 17 words just does not understand the concept of selling a fight.
He doesn't. No, this is prize fighting. It's not right. From where he comes from and is Dagestan, a republic of Russia, that it's a different
hours
way of,
of research.
Yeah, it's a different way
pouring
of like how you conduct yourself is different. But at the end of the day, it's prize fighting. It's not fighting for honor. And if he did, he got it twisted. So that's why you have that reaction afterward. And he's totally you never saw this coming. So that's why everyone was shocked.
So what do you think is going to happen to him? I mean, there's rumors that he's going to be fined or suspended or even have his title revoked, or anything. And I saw the news today where he's like, if you fire his friend, then just go ahead and fire him as well. He's leaving.
Yep, exactly. But the Nevada State Athletic Commission just...
And SAC.
Yeah, they just indefinitely suspended both fighters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
Till the 24th breaking of October. News. Yep, breaking news. and then they'll do a further investigation or hearing on the 24th. So as of now, this is how it shakes out. Connor has been paid his purse. It's $3 million. Habib has not, $2 million. But...
By the way, we've settled on Habib.
Habib, right?
It's been like 96 hours of straight coverage, and they've all seemed to settle on Habib. So we're going to go with Habib.
Yeah, so he's not hurting for money because most of the money he's getting from is from the pay-per-view.
Connor is.
Both of them. Boy. They're both getting the pay-per-view buys. So I don't know
how Habib negotiated that deal to get pay-per-view.
Well, he's the champion. He should negotiate something.
I guess. I mean, yeah. He's probably got some high-priced Russian lawyers that made that happen.
Exactly. But he should be thanking Connor because Connor's the one who sold the fight. And it's not just that. That's the bus incident as well.
That's the part that's so maddening to me because he doesn't understand the idea that Connor has done this for everybody's benefit. Exactly. He didn't do it just for himself. He did it for the collective. Everybody who is on that pay-per-view card ended up collecting a much larger paycheck as a result of the work that he did. Mm-hmm. So everybody points to the bus incident and says, he should be punished. Or why is Habib being held to a higher standard compared to what Connor did? But all of that went into the promotion of this fight.
And he understands the sport. Exactly. He understands the game.
He understands the economics and how you build to a fight.
Well, how do you think this fight happened? That bus incident spurred the entire fight. Without that, there would be no fight. There would be a Tony Ferguson, if he was when he recovered.
Oh, because he called him McNuggets.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man,
that would be the fight. But instead,
sign me up tomorrow.
But Connor, he's already paid his debt to society. He's been arrested.
He was exactly. Yeah, I think that's a major difference in all of this. Like Connor actually paid a price for his transgressions for that bus incident. He was arrested. I think the following day, like he didn't get to leave the country. So any illusions that Connor skated by without really facing any repercussions is just nonsense. It's somebody who is probably in the sack for Habib. But we could go on for days off this. I mean, to kind of button it up, like where do you guys feel like this is going to go? I think I alluded to this on Twitter when I was live tweeting after about the 7 or 8 vodka sodas. The die has been cast. We've seen the precedent set by Nevada where they will fine heavily, like something in the range of $250,000, and they're going to suspend. And Dana White has alluded to this in some of his comments since Saturday night, in saying that they're not going to go around the Nevada commission's back to get him a fight in Dagestan or get him a fight in New York, because once you screw over Nevada, you pretty much set the ball in motion to not getting any big fights going forward. So I think whatever happens in Nevada is going to pretty much set the table
in Nevada.
It's not going to stay in Nevada. It's going to go state country or across the borders into across
the
nation.
They're going to set the precedent, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So whatever levy they set, or whatever fine or punishment they levy.
If it's 6 months, I think they strip them of the title.
Yeah, that's fine.
Without question.
Yeah, without question. And I've gone back and forth because both sides, I wish that he didn't do it because his performance that night was amazing. Because the choke, the crank that he submitted Connor with was not your typical rear naked choke. It was above the neck crank.
It was a neck crank.
So he's crushing his neck and his chin. So
were you impressed with his performance?
I was. It was amazing because there's no one else like him.
That is my GSP.
I tend to agree. You know, they're gonna give him a fine, maybe suspend him, just because you can't. You have to set either Nevada's gonna set the precedence or UFC is just gonna strip him of the title. But at this point, it's up to. I would agree.
Six months. Maniac said, "Keep my $2 million."
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway. Either way, I think it's a disappointment. I think one for the casual fans that are just tuning in just for the big card, for the big name. I think to see Conor go out like that, I think it was a disappointment. I mean, he wasn't fighting his style. Like I think we talked about last week, you know, he's more of a striker. So to see him be taken out like that, you knew it was going to happen. The motherfucker wrestled bears, you know. It's like you knew at
not
some
a bear
point,
and seen bear, yeah, like a real bear.
So it was a bit disappointing, but then on the flip note, it was also disappointing for the sport. I think to see that, you know, they're trying to build progress and trying to show that they're a legitimate sport, and to see them, you know, it's just a disgrace to where it's headed. And I think overall it was a big disappointment.
I think you may take me down a black hole. I'm going to try to just kind of graze the wave tops on this real quick. So I hate to go into the whole like these darn millennials, like that whole old man on the porch type of spiel, but I think this kid Khabib does not understand how low MMA got in the last or how far MMA has come in the last 20 years, because I've watched the old UFC before they were bought by the Fertitta brothers and Dana White. And they were fighting in bingo halls with no rules and 300-pound guys against 150-pound jiu-jitsu artists. Mm-hmm. Like, MMA has been reviled for years, decades in this country before Dana White and the Fertitta brothers took over it. And this kid doesn't understand just how far the sport had to come to get to the stage to where he right. can fight on this level against a guy like Conor right. McGregor and get the prize money that he's eligible to get. So I think part of that plays into how he reacted to this and how he's been reacting in the days since. So it hurts me. It pisses me off. And it just screams, I guess, to this generational divide. Where people, or I guess the youngsters, for lack of a better term, of this generation, don't have the context to understand the repercussions of their actions. So that's as far as I'm going to go into it. I'll probably plug my computer in tomorrow and do a much longer winded explanation as to how I really feel about this. But yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Sure. But speaking of disappointments, did you guys see what happened on Monday?
Great. Segue.
Yeah, I was sitting next to you.
Oh my goodness, man. Well, the part that I was the like the performance.
We're talking the Redskins now.
Yeah, the Redskins versus Saints Monday Night Football. That was atrocious.
Did
but
did Drew Brees
it, but
do
I'm
a
not
thing?
Surprised. I'm not surprised. I think we all called it. They performed terribly in prime time, so it wasn't totally a shock, but the biggest disappointment was how they handled the freaking celebration of Drew Brees passing Peyton Manning's record. It's like, what the hell was that? Like, that's look.
It was like a long time out that they called.
Records get broken constantly, you know? Like, just in any sport, records are constantly broken. They may do like a little mini, like, mini applause, mini celebration where, you know, the crowd stands up and then it's over. That was a long winded, over rehearsed, over produced celebration that was almost like pre-planned. You knew it was pre-planned.
Well, yeah, of course.
But
yes. His wife and 17 kids were walked on the field before he threw the pass.
it was horrible.
Well, they milked it. And so he was like 200 yards 2 weeks ago against the Giants, and he had just a dud of a game. And then, or maybe 400 yards. And so when this game came up, right, you knew that ESPN was salivating at the chance to be able to do all of these vignettes and you know, and these long-winded tributes to Drew Brees. Now, granted, he deserves every bit of it, But it just I mean, come on. I mean, 71,000 yards or so. I mean, I would have liked it to just.
You can't take that away. From
no,
him,
you cannot.
You know?
But I would have liked it to just be one thing. Great job. Let's keep it going. But.
Right.
I mean, it. Yeah.
Right.
There
you
was
know the part that pisses me off the most. That freaking certificate.
I don't understand that. And the man with the gloves, the president of the Hall of Fame with gloves.
We were crowing about that for a while.
I mean, and the mic'd up. Did you hear that? They
yes.
were grasping.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Did you hear me out there, guys? I was like, what? Okay. That's what he would say typically during a game. And they were making it sound as if it was the best thing ever.
It was not the best thing
No,
ever.
It wasn't. It was just, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell too much on this. I think we mentioned at the top. I don't think we're gonna get together to watch football anymore.
No, no. I mean,
It's not because I don't like hanging out with everybody to watch the game, but I just feel like the collective mojo that is generated from our viewing parties does not result into a Redskin victory. And that goes into our psychosis as fans, where we think we can influence whatever happens in the game.
Yeah, you know, you think you come out in troops, just like you come out, you rock the jerseys.
Support the team.
Support the team. For the team. You go to a local sports bar. Everyone's there together. You're with your homies.
By the way, the only motivation that we had in going to that specific sports bar was the fact that they had a hookah.
Oh, yeah.
It was not the, was not the game.
Sign me up any day.
There are 17 bars like in this like half-mile radius that would actually show the game, but we decided that we would fixate on this one because they have marinated tobacco and a coal on an outdoor deck.
Excellent. Grape mint.
Mm. It was actually a pretty good flavor. Pretty good. But yeah, they vomited on themselves again. And I know that's a phrase in the, like, this is only a third broadcast, but I feel like I've used the phrase vomited on themselves several times. But yeah, they pretty much conducted themselves the way that they typically do on primetime television. So I have no interest in continuing our group endeavors whenever they play. And you know what, to that end, I think the media that covers the Redskins need to dial it back a bit, because every time they win a game convincingly, they go through the roof and say things like, oh, well, maybe this Redskins team is different. Maybe this team has
that every year.
Every year. When they win a single game. But as I was able to glean from the internet, 9-15 is their record since 2015 coming off a win. So you tell me if that's a team you really feel like you need to invest your time in.
No. They're 1-7 in prime time under Jay Gruden.
Did your own research, did you?
No. Yeah. Well, the last time they did win a Monday night was against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Yeah. That was the magical 4-12 season.
Magical. You're talking about the Colt McCoy game.
Yes.
Oh,
where they blitzed the heck out of Tony Romo.
You mean the Sarah Cogod game?
Yes. That was the game.
That is that a was complete
the game.
Outlier.
That was the game.
That's a complete outlier. If you want to research Sarah Cogod,
please don't.
Don't do that. No, she's the worst. So we're resolved. I think we can close the book on the Redskins Saints. And you know what? We'll revisit.
Should we
them.
Just close the book on the Redskins season?
It might be a little. They're 2-2 in first place in the division.
Are they? Like, it doesn't feel like they're
evidently,
in first place.
Man. No. Like, I was like an old fashioned in when I looked up at the TV screen and saw that they were actually still in first place. So far be it for me to actually close the book on them this soon. But I think as far as our purposes, for broadcast purposes, we can kind of just turn the page and come back to them whenever, you know, they actually show some backbone. So transitioning from sports nerddom to actual nerddom. Ice and I, we actually crossed paths last night at the movie theater, watching Venom Wednesday night, middle of the week. I'm pretty sure it's not a holiday. I don't think we're not coming off. The holiday has well passed.
Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday was the holiday.
Okay. Columbus Day.
We had a couple.
Can you say that still? Is it Columbus Day?
Indigenous People's
no.
Day.
No, you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I feel like we're far enough removed from a holiday for people to be jamming the movie theaters. But in any case, we walked into a sold-out movie theater.
Wow.
To see Venom at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And, I mean, we're trying to walk a delicate line because Jack hasn't seen a first-run movie since the first Clinton administration. But
wait, hold on.
We're not going to spoil it.
When was the last time you saw a movie on opening weekend? I have to know.
I don't remember.
Opening weekend.
I don't remember. It was before my second child was born.
Wait, we took Jack out for Black Panther, but that wasn't
That was way late.
Yeah,
no,
that was later.
That was like at least 90 days into that run.
Was it Transformers with Mark Wahlberg.
That could have been
that's it. That's
of all the movies.
Yes.
I think that was the rare night that you actually came out to join us for movie night.
Yes.
So we said, it's Jack's pick tonight. Whatever he wants to watch, we're going to watch.
I chose a Mark Wahlberg classic.
I almost wish we didn't bring up
I chose the first Transformers, his foray into that franchise. Yes, that was the last time I watched a movie that was a first run movie. Yes, correct.
That's when he had a hot, really hot daughter, right?
Correct, who was just... Like it was awkward.
What are you doing?
like all at the same time. Like there's no way
the Decepticons are all over the place.
Sired this child, and no,
your mom's dead.
Should we even like deviate a little bit just to like share with the fans?
Do we really do we want to dig?
We can just to let them know his little. Just love for and Mark Wahlberg. His infatuation.
Infatuate. That's a great word. Infatuation with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes. I'll be over here drinking bourbon. Go for
so,
it.
So there was we did a trip together.
We went to New York.
We stayed at this one hotel, and I never knew, you know, when you book a hotel, when there's like the special request, mm-hmm. you could actually make a special request.
Correct.
Yes. Shouts out to the W on Lexington.
Yep.
Were you the one that actually made the request?
Yes, I did. So the request was to have a framed picture of Mark Wahlberg on my bed before I checked in. And as I walked up to check in, let's paint the scene. Everyone checked in ahead of me. Ice and John had checked in. They got their keys in their rooms. And so I go up and check in. They go, well, we'll have to wait. It'll be another 30 minutes. And I go, 30 minutes? What for? So I go back. I was like, okay, 30 minutes. That's fine. And finally, I went back.
The front desk clerk actually said, you're going to need to cool your heels for about
For 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 minutes. And I go, well, we
need
had
to
a long
spool
drive.
Up our inkjet.
Yeah,
I think she spit in his face at a certain point.
So it actually, it happened faster than that. And so, you know, 15 minutes later, I got the keys and we go up. And I totally forgot that I had made this request. And all of a sudden, there's a framed picture of Mark Wahlberg staring at me with his big, brown, juicy eyes looking at me. And I go, this is the best thing ever. Awesome. I cannot believe they fulfilled it.
So I know.
To be clear, they had this asshole wait an additional 1 hour and 15 minutes so that Marta from housekeeping could get his room from room 324 and put it up on room 724 and have it propped up against the pillow the way that he requested.
You know what they meant? That probably meant they scrambled quickly on every floor of the hotel, found the first frame they saw sitting in the hotel lobby.
It was a Chinese fire drill is what it was.
Grabbed the frame, ripped out whatever photo was in there, but quickly measured what the size of the frame was and said, print Mark Wahlberg at that size.
Is that a 5x8? Get it out of my face. I need 5x7 now.
Quickly threw it in there, ran up, had Marta, housekeeping, go in there, put it nicely on the pillow instead of candies. And boom, bam.
Did you tip extra?
I did, yes.
Of course.
That chambermaid better have gotten like at least a 20 spot. For real. Now he's actually sifting through his own Instagram to try
we'll
to.
We'll figure it out.
Do you still have photos of that?
I have a photo. I can show it later.
We have to check that out.
Oh, yeah. That could be the show.
That'll be the show.
That'll be the cover photo
there
for the show.
There it is. All right.
Wow, how the hell did we circle the drain that way?
So we saw Venom.
Yeah, we saw Venom, yeah. So your thoughts, please. The floor is yours.
So again, just because Jack hasn't seen it, we're going to avoid spoiling the movie for Jack.
Oh, please, just do it.
No.
And then we'll do a real recap in like December.
No. December? That's wishful thinking.
That's way too soon.
Maybe 2 years.
Okay, so we saw the film. I actually, if you go back to episode one, I was pretty down on the film going into it. Not for any... Okay, so from my end, the trailers were god-awful. Like, they took the hackiest, shtickiest clips from the film and just condensed it into 2 minutes. Not to mention that the CGI was lacking, for a better term. Compared to what I saw in Spider-Man 3. Like, the Venom that I saw in that movie was demonstratively better than what I saw from the trailers for the film. So that set the bar pretty low, but all that is to say, I walked away happy from Venom.
You know?
And you mentioned this on the show sheet that we have here. Like, the critical reaction has not been kind to Venom in the least bit. I think 30% is where they've been sitting at for the last several weeks from the premiere. But I think
there's a little asterisk with that, because
of course there is.
I mean, to me, I feel like I don't disagree that it could be in the realm of 30%. I don't think
it's not a great movie. Let's make that clear.
It's not a great movie when you consider all the masterpieces that Marvel has put up, or just like the really successful comic book movies out there. I wouldn't say Venom is up in the top 10.
He's not the king of Wakanda.
But I would say I didn't walk away disappointed either.
I didn't hate it.
There was something about it that was just like shockingly kind of entertaining.
Okay, so Ice is going to his diatribe about Venom, we're seeing the first clips of Aladdin, the live action flick from...
I didn't even know what the hell you're pointing at.
Oh my God. If it were socially acceptable, these pants would be around my ankles right now.
Well, there's
now.
No point in talking about it. We can't get it on...
And in any case, you guys can Google that on the internet.
All right, we have to watch this later.
Apple.com/
Is Will Smith the genie?
He is. Wow. Yeah. They do trailers and posters perfect for these live action remakes. Anyway, so okay. Back to Venom.
And this won't spoil the movie for you, Jack, but what I felt, calm down, asshole. What I felt was shocking was how they've established Venom's personality in this movie. I think I've always interpreted as he's like this menacing figure. He's this like huge dude, that's a huge badass, you know? But
Topher Grace.
In the movie, they kind of made him out to be a really likable, like actually kind of corny, funny type character, a really anti-villain, you know,
anti-hero.
But he's not a good guy. But he's not a bad guy. He's kind of like in this.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's Roman Reigns. What?
And so overall, like it was weird to
see.
No
one's gonna get that.
I think they were stretching to pull humor into Venom. Marvel likes to put humor into movies. Yeah. So I think Sony, because this is like in association with Marvel, they wanted to follow some of the same formulas. And I just felt like it was stretching to try to be funny, but it came off really like dad corny type jokes. And
I heard it described as like a buddy movie.
It was. Yeah. It was like, you know, the relationship between him and Eddie Brock, played by Tom Hardy.
Well, Venom also played by Tom Hardy.
Yeah. I think
he did the voice.
Yeah, I heard.
He did the voice.
Do you want to do the voice?
So we have a deal. Eddie. Wow, that did not come out. <the way.
laughs> Well, do you think they did that to? Because of the one, to get it, to introduce him later into the MCU, and two, that's
absolutely.
Why they put it as a PG-13 instead of a rated R.
Absolutely, exactly. They went out of their way to keep the back door open, so they closed all the windows and boarded up all the doors, but they wanted to leave the doggy door open in the back just in case they wanted to have the Russo brothers pull Venom into Avengers 4. Which, you know, I there's no rumors of that happening, but I think they wanted to create an avenue for Venom to be integrated into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which by keeping everything pretty milquetoast and not really having anything too extravagant as far as character building outside of this contained story, I think they did a pretty good job of that. Let me be clear. The first 20 to 30 minutes of the film were not my favorite. Like, they lived up to my relatively low expectations for that first stretch of the film.
Yeah, but no, I don't disagree. I think I think they were trying.
They tried a lot of bits. Yeah. Like, you know, when it comes to like radio, like or TV, like when you try a lot of bits, you're more or less trying to see what will stick against the wall. Not a lot of stuff was sticking at that point. So I get what they were going for, but it just didn't work out in the end. But once they got past that point, once they were working into the storyline of the film, and they introduced Venom, the symbiote. Okay, I've seen the trailer. That chick, okay, Jenny Slate is the doctor in the film. And they did the trailers that they released 6 months ago, and she said symbiote no less than 17 times in that 2-minute trailer. Somehow, some way, I think they did some ADR.
No, they definitely went back.
Oh yeah, and they changed symbiote to symbiote.
And I don't know if you noticed, but they re-recorded all of Venom's audio tracks.
God bless them. They needed that because symbiote has never been said before that first trailer of Venom hit.
But
so
all of the stuff that you, I think initially in some of like the teaser trailers, you couldn't
everything
make,
you hated.
You couldn't make out a single word that Venom said.
No,
it's like
I couldn't.
You need the subtitles to make out what he said. Yeah. But in the movie, you can obviously tell they went back and re-recorded everything, and it was much clearer with just like the, so the new voice is less of like this little monster sound with a lot of like twang in it, but the new sound is very Tom Hardy, just with
so
the
we
bass.
Have a deal.
It sounds just like John.
I know that doesn't like.
So we have a deal.
I'm trying here, goddammit.
We keep trying.
All right. So all that is to say, they fixed a lot of the stuff that I had reservations about initially. I still say the CGI is not what you would expect for a film in 2018. When you've seen
really
everything you can see.
I think
they
ran out of budget.
Oh, everything. It's $100 million budget.
Not enough.
I guess.
Okay, so Jack, you haven't seen Infinity War, but trust me when I say the CGI in Infinity War is top notch.
30
so,
minutes in, bro.
Yeah, having seen that. And seeing what they could do with this gigantic symbiote monster, it's lacking. But all so, that is to say, the film kept me engaged the rest of the way after those first 20 minutes. I never felt bored. And Tom Hardy and the relationship he had with Venom was a 10 out of 10. I would go back and watch that tomorrow.
Oh, just the relationship.
No. If I can see Venom and Tom Hardy like driving down the 405 solving crimes the whole way.
You're not giving the movie a 10 out of 10.
No. What's
your final out of 5?
3 out of 5.
Oh, okay.
3 out of 5. I'm with them. 3 out of 5.
That's a 60%, so that's a D. All right.
You pass, but you may
barely
not,
pass.
You may not graduate from high school.
Oh, and right. John, could you segue us into this news? Because John just dropped this on me right before we started taping this, and it was totally
apparently
news
I'm
to me.
Tom Brokaw for
so
nerds.
let the listeners know what just went down today with the James Gunn situation.
I don't think it was actually today. You might be really
oh, am I really
one.
That far?
You're
back?
Way behind. So it might have been so they
yesterday,
were
yesterday, right?
So they were
oh, am I that far back? Yeah, yesterday,
there were inklings assholes. that it was going to happen on Tuesday, or discussions were happening on Tuesday that disgraced director James Gunn, formerly of the Guardians of the Galaxy universe, 1 and 2 rather, he was. Unceremoniously fired by Marvel because of tweets he sent out in 2008. So, you know, why wouldn't he be? He was rumored to be in discussions with DC Comics to take over or at least write the script for the Suicide Squad sequel. 24 hours pass, and by Wednesday or going into Thursday, it's been confirmed that he's going to write and direct the sequel to Suicide Squad, a film that you couldn't pay me or strip my skin with lie to watch again. But if there's anyone who is more suited to actually take over this godforsaken franchise, it is James Gunn, a guy who is built off offbeat characters and pop culture references and pretty much everything that Suicide Squad tried to do in their first run.
Oh, yeah.
But failed at miserably.
They pretty much tried. They like the folks who worked on the initial Suicide Squad probably watched Guardians, wrote down the formula of how that was successful. With all like the throwback music, with you know all the quirky humor and this and that, and they tried to mix it into the new ensemble at Suicide Squad, and it just failed miserably.
Yeah,
like I really like. Everything about that movie I hated, except I actually felt like Harley Quinn was pretty good. She was a perfect Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think this will be a good injection of new blood and new life into that universe, because DC is way behind in regards to bringing their characters to life in a cinematic form. I mean, this is a huge coup. So... you know, Marvel let James Gunn go, and so now you've got Dave Bautista, who's like, "Sign me up. Where do I sign up?" And so now everybody's saying, "Hey, where would Dave Bautista, or what character would he play?" So
the first one that came to mind was Bane.
Oh yeah,
I mean
yeah,
obviously.
I mean, just,
but could he
jacked.
Do that voice though? Could you live up to that voice?
He can't do this voice.
That wasn't your best.
That wasn't it. No, come on, do better. Come on.
We were born in the dark.
Thank you. That's
you
the voice.
You nearly adopted it.
That's more like it.
that's the one.
Yeah, but that I
See,
mean he
Bautista
could,
can't do that.
He couldn't, but
He can't put a cup to his face.
But he could do it in a different way. Bane is from South America. Maybe he can have a Latin accent instead of the accent that Tom
Nothing
Hardy
will
has
ever live up to that.
No, it won't, but maybe he can go his own way, right?
So you're born in the dark or something, Chico.
Yeah.
You merely adopted it.
If you know the source material, you've played the games, like they portray him as he's an inmate from South America, not from, I guess, the Middle East or some kind of obscure country out somewhere in the Nethers out there.
I don't think anyone...
Welcome to Bane's prison, okay? This is my prison.
I don't think that's it either. That's more Mexican, and we're trying to go...
Good luck climbing out of the well.
We're thinking we're further down south. I think that's his origin for sure.
Way
that's
down, bro.
Yeah.
See, well, I think they set such a high bar with the...
They got to go to Cholo, right?
Yeah, it's like...
No, they shouldn't.
You just cannot. Just like with Batman. It's hard for someone to follow Bale, you know? It's like, you have to, like, the whole, like, where is she? Yeah. You know, it's like, you can't do that. Like, anyone that comes in after that just cannot.
It can't happen. But I do think that there is enough of an opportunity for him to just segue into that universe like beautifully.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's not just Bane. Evidently, there are more characters in DC. I wouldn't know that because if you remember from our first episode, we said, motherfuck the DC universe. We could give two shits about DC characters and their comics and films.
Can you imagine anyone else as Mr. Freeze?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Could Dave Bautista be Mr. Freeze? I'd sign up for that tomorrow.
He could be.
Yeah.
I'm doing a hard U-turn right here, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. That opened a new door for me right there.
Oh, man. The back door. All right. So I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out. I don't know how much time we have left at this point. Do we want to touch
get a little bit into Spider-Man.
Okay, so we started with Venom as we circled into our nerddom here. This isn't a huge spoiler, but not the mid credits, but the end credits scene from Venom is actually an extended look at Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
So I presume if you're the level of nerd that we are, you've seen the Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse trailers. They seem okay. This one was actually quite in depth and gave you like kind of a real in depth shot at the character.
Dude, this was good.
Oh man,
this was good.
For the steadfast Marvel fans, like you're probably skeptical because of how Sony has handled Spider-Man properties. This looks spot freaking on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're like the 100 million people out in the world that are really into the Miles Morales take on the character, like this like hits that perfectly, and then they tie it in with the Peter Parker character, and they make it all work, and they make it funny, they make it engaging. So if you're skeptical, like I can see you still kind of sitting on the sidelines, but
and it's done beautifully too.
It looks incredible. And again, I still give like a 25% chance that Sony finds a way to screw this up. But the fact of the matter is they actually put together something that kind of puts a nice little bow on Venom. Because if you're expecting to see Spider-Man in some capacity in the film, which spoiler alert doesn't really happen. But it tells you that all of this stuff is interconnected in some way, shape, or form. They talk about this being in another universe. So it speaks to the title of the film, Into the Spider-Verse. So it tells you that no matter how disconnected they are, they still kind of work in some relation to one another. So it was nice to see that and build interest to something that, you know, honestly, I didn't have that much interest in once I saw the initial trailer. So, you know, I'm in. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I think when I saw the, the several trailers that they put out, I was more fascinated more for the creative direction, the artwork that went into it. And I was more mesmerized by that. But then once I started looking into what the story was, I thought it was so interesting. I never really thought about doing a Spider-Man showing the various universes of the different Spider-Mans out there. And to see the extended look gave me more appreciation for what it could be. And I'm 100% sold. Like we somehow, some way,
goddamn,
us three of us, we gotta go.
We
gotta go watch this together. I think this is really good. It looks really good.
I'm very excited. I did like his shoes in the trailer.
Oh,
he
had some right?
He had the
hype beast.
Yeah, Jordan ones.
Jack is a hype beast.
Hashtag Jack's a hype beast.
He had some ones on. I think they were the classic ones.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah, I don't think. No, they weren't the breads. Sorry. But yeah, they were.
I'm going to murder you before the show's over.
But it was. Yeah, the I liked the trailer because it also. It showed, you know, all the different Spider-Men as well, all the different types of Spider-Men in the Spider-Verse, which was great. I think I loved it. And to the same effect, I'd love to go watch it for sure.
You're a Spider-Man mark, aren't you?
I am. I have been. I don't know. I guess a quick question. Who is your Spider-Man? I mean, if you had from all the movies. Me personally, it's Tobey Maguire.
Eduardo Saverin.
No. Sans Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 2, that's fine. But I think Tobey Maguire is my Spider-Man, even though Sam Raimi kind of took some very creative liberties with the direction.
Unfortunately, it's Tobey for me. Like, as much
Why
as
is that unfortunate?
It's not unfortunate. He's
because
great.
I actually feel I...
Oh, it's Spider-Man 3 when he was snapping down the street. I get it.
Yeah. That's where I lost a lot of respect for Spider-Man.
Hey, hip
one,
cats, it's
one
me,
and
Peter
two,
Parker.
I was totally bought in that Tobey is the perfect Spider-Man and you can never cast another Spider-Man. And then Spider-Man 3 happened, and I hated Spider-Man 3.
We all did.
Especially with the whole Venom bit, which we don't have to get into.
No, we're not going
to. Except Venom. He looked like
but
a, like
I
an
have
11.
To say, the new Tom Holland as Spider-Man, it caught me off guard. I didn't think I would ever find another Spider-Man that I felt would be so fitting.
God,
and
you sound like you got divorced. I know. Three kids.
But at the what same the time, the homeboy, what was the name
Eduardo
of your
Eduardo Saverin? Yes. No, that's not his name. It's Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, that's who it was.
Yeah, I mean, those were good movies. Those
no.
Were good.
I was your CFO.
Sorry.
He was actually a really good Spider-Man as well. I bought into him too, but I just felt that they didn't do the story right.
Yeah, no, he took pictures and shopped at Hot Topic. He was the shit.
He was more hipsterish.
Yeah. But I thought just...
Peter Parker's
a
douche.
You
have to remember that.
I put him in the same bucket as Ben Affleck, where I think they both played the role just fine, except the stories and the writer and the movie just didn't... put them out to be the optimal character.
Do you know
who
directed the Spider-Man films?
Probably the same motherfucker.
Well, Spider-Man films with Eduardo Saverin?
Andrew Garfield. Shout out to Andrew Garfield.
No, it was the guy who did 500 Days of Summer.
I don't know who directed.
Precisely, exactly. It was like a hipster era. Romantic
Zoe
comedy.
Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah. You know what? They should have taken that guy from Third Rock from the Sun. Yes, yeah. They should have put Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Robin. Robin.
Yeah, they should have made him.
I was waiting for a Robin movie after that last scene of...
It's not going to happen.
No, right. No. Well, I mean, they have the Robin... Is it Robin
Teen
series?
Titan?
Yeah, the Titan series. Yeah.
That would be horrible.
Yeah. We have gone down a massive rabbit hole. I want to watch that cartoon movie.
Yeah,
that shit looks fucking hilarious.
It's good. It looks great. It looks good. I mean, like I said, I'm a Spider-Man mark. I've been playing the Spider-Man games,
I went to Disneyland like in my early 20s, and I actually went to the Universal Studios, and I bought you a pennant from the Spider-Man because the Spider-Man exhibit, like the ride that happens in Universal Studios, is like the best thing that they have going on there. So I felt strongly enough about it to get you a pendant for that. But I know you're a mark, and I wanted to get your feeling on this. I would really love for you to actually see the film and tell us how you actually feel about the after credit scene from Venom.
Okay.
To give us some context from a legitimate Spider-Man fan.
Well, I apologize. We'll
check back in April.
We'll check back in April, but I'll make an effort to watch it. Or at least try to get.
Let's get
it.
Back
yeah.
to the game. You're talking about a game.
Back to Spider-Man marking.
Yeah. So Spider-Man. So I've been playing Spider-Man for years.
I've been playing Spider-Man for years, man.
Yeah. So there have been countless Spider-Man
way
games
before this guy, man.
So the history in short, most Spider-Man games are have been released with the movie, which were god awful. But before that, there were games. on the PS2, and then the I guess before this recent one.
When does Emma die, man?
Yeah, what was the one before this one?
The one that I can remember is Spider-Man Web of Shadows, which was on the PS3, and which by every critic is one of the best Spider-Man games ever.
Really?
And it is. It's just you.
How are they? Okay, so they've. I remember like distinctly in my life at least 3 Spider-Man games that have been called the best Spider-Man game of all time.
Right. But yeah, it takes a lot to get to
like
to
each one ends up being the best game of all time.
Well, I would say the latest
This one is the best of all time.
Right. Okay.
As the I think there are
if you say so.
The because
I have a PS3.
Yeah, because the tech well you can get Web of Shadows,
I guess.
the technology has allowed you to
can I say
embody the essence of Spider-Man. So you can swing and you can do a lot of the acrobatic moves as Spider-Man. So after you play the game for like half an hour, you're like, the real world sucks. Like, I want to be like swinging around New York City on rooftops. And they Insomniac captured it, especially the web slinging, perfectly.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the amount of tricks that you can do, the things that they've incorporated into the
everything,
the slinging
everything
itself, the environment, the city is vibrant, and as it should be, it's New York, for God's sake. If it isn't, then I mean, it would be a complete shit show.
So for the non-gaming listeners who's kind of casually into games, the best way I can describe it, just because I think so, Jack first raved about it. I heard it about the reviews. I watched a couple trailers of the gameplay. I was interested, but I just don't really have much time to play. Mm-hmm. I got my hands on a copy of the game, so I actually did have a chance to play the game. And the best way I would describe it is it's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto,
yes,
in a Spider-Man universe, mm-hmm, where you can really explore the city.
Yeah, definitely.
So what I found was so breathtaking was like the way the game started. Like, you started on this cinematic piece, and then all of a sudden you're playing that piece, and it was just like, you know, we're used to that back in the day when we're playing like the traditional like PlayStation games or whatever games. You see the videos and then you get the gameplay and it's like, ugh, like that's a big difference. But you know, at the time it was still like way far ahead of its time, so you kind of accepted it. But now the fact that you're playing games in the quality of the cinematic piece, it's incredible.
Yeah, the gaming's obviously come a long way, but it's much more seamless. So you go from a cut scene and then all of a sudden you're in the game and you're playing. It looks just like a cut scene.
It's not like Night Slayer, man.
There's no there's no transition. You're right, Dane. There's no transition. So the game is just it's gorgeous, especially on a PS4, and it's only on a PS4. But it just looks gorgeous. I mean, the graphics, the city, everything, they've nailed it. And especially from watching the trailers and all the leaks and and all the previews coming leading up to the release of the game, everyone's expectations were very high, and I think Insomniac lived up to them. Now, are there things that need to be fixed? Sure, but I would say, you know, they're very minor.
Yeah,
so.
See, I haven't gotten that far, but just the fact that the little bit that I played, I played the first level where you're Spider-Man and you're working your way up to getting to Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working your way like from the city to his building, mm-hmm, up the building to where Fisk is. Then you address Fisk and then you actually fight, mm-hmm, Fisk. Mm-hmm. And that whole experience was so much fun because that's where you start learning about all the things you could do. You know, like in traditional Spider-Man games, you're swinging around and then you would punch, attack, kick, jump, you know, your, mm-hmm, traditional stuff. This one's like they really thought through the like all the mechanics of Spider-Man. You're webbing people, you're swinging people around, you can pick up objects and throw it at people, you can shoot and pull yourself to places, and then you got like this like Spidey sense, recharge focus mode, mm-hmm, thing. It's so good. It's so fun. The little bit that I played, I'm sold. That is the best Spider-Man game I've ever played.
Yeah, it's very good. The game that I would compare it to are the Batman series games. So the first game, Arkham Asylum, which is an epic game. So it reminds me of that, especially with the combat. There's a lot of combos and the flow of the combat, the counters, things like that. It's very, very good. And it's very well done. I think they pulled a lot from it. from Arkham, Batman Arkham Asylum. I mean, you know.
Was that also like an open world?
Oh, definitely. It was open world. You know, you played as an iconic character, and you know that game nailed Batman, and they went on to make two more games after that. So it only got bigger and better. So I'm only about 30% in. So there's a lot of Easter eggs and things to do outside of the main story. So you're not tied to just doing the main story. I would say your best bet is to collect as many items as you can throughout it, because it also gives you insight, because it's not your typical origin story of Spider-Man story. It's a it's an older Spider-Man, so he's much more in tune. So they've taken some liberties with the storyline, but like I said, I would give it, it's definitely a 9 out of 10. It's a great game.
See, from the little bit that I played, I just go all the way to the top. I give it a 10 just from the little bit that I played.
The first 10 ever.
Oh, that game is so fun, man.
It's very good.
I cannot stop thinking about it. I need to find the time to play.
Do you guys want my rating?
Please, John, tell us. What do you think?
After hearing everything you guys had to say about the game, I stabbed myself in the chest with an adrenaline shot, like from Pulp Fiction. Just so I can make it to the end of the show.
Thank you. Yeah, there was no rating there.
No.
What's your make believe rating?
Methadone. Give me all the methadone so I can make it through the end of the game.
Done.
All right.
Well,
please God.
We've made it through another one, guys.
I don't want to talk of video games ever again. And you know,
trust
what?
Trust me. This
evidently
may,
I didn't.
This may be the last.
Yeah, probably.
But this is one of the rare ones that we just had to bring up.
Yeah, definitely.
If you say so. I'm going to eat my microphone cover now, but I appreciate everybody who found their way to this episode number 3 for giving us another shot.
Especially on Spotify.
Shouts
thank
out.
You, thank you, Spotify listeners.
Twitter.com/Spotify, Spotify.com, Instagram.com/Spotify. I don't know what their actual handle is. I'm just throwing it out.
Find us at badslant.com, Twitter.com/badslant, and also on Instagram.
Start there. Matriculate down.
Badslant.
All right.
Holler.
Later.